The big news today is that the discharge petition, which was created by Ro Khanna, the Democrat, Thomas Massie, the Republican, has finally been brought to the floor of the U.S. House and was passed almost unanimously. This is the bill that will compel the DOJ to release all the Epstein files. Today it passed unanimously. Now it goes to the U.S. Senate, where it has already been agreed upon that it will pass unanimously there as well. And then quickly it will move to the White House, where President Trump says that he will sign it. So this is an unbelievable earthquake. Because again, as I said at the beginning of the show, and we'll work through some of the timeline, President Trump has been working tirelessly and spending enormous political capital basically since he took office to prevent exactly this from happening. Ever since January of this year, so 10 months ago, Trump has been fighting and he's come up with every trick. He tried to distract the people. He tried to deceive the people. He tried to bury and cover up the Epstein files, tried to stall Congress and prevent them from considering it. He threw his weight around. He used intimidation, tried to bully Republicans, his supporters and his political allies, to stop talking about it. He did everything, pulled out every stop. And in the end, not only did it not work, but in the final week, it looks like there was this boiling over. And in the end, not only did the bill pass, but it passed unanimously in the House and the Senate. And go figure. Just a week ago, you had four Democrats, or was it six Democrats, I think it was, held up the entire U.S. Senate, shut down the government for over 40 days, over nothing. Think about it. Six Democrats shut down the entire government, the longest shutdown in history, for 45 days. They were going to shut down air travel during Thanksgiving. They were going to prevent food stamps from going out to 40 million people. They furloughed much of the government. I knew many people in government that didn't get paid for a month. TSA wasn't getting paid. You had hour-long security lines in Texas at LaGuardia, New York. Over nothing. And this week, every single member, they all got together. 2 weeks ago, they could barely come to an agreement to let the planes fly during Thanksgiving and Christmas. And now every single member, Republican and Democrat, House and Senate, has come together and agreed, we want the Epstein files against the wishes of the president. This is a coup. This is a mutiny. Make no mistake about it. That's the significance of it. Trump lost on this one. And this is a story. This is from The Hill. It says, quote, the Senate agreed by unanimous consent on Tuesday to approve a House-passed bill that will require the Justice Department to release all unclassified records and documents related to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, sending the bill to President Trump's desk for a signature. Senate Democrat leader Chuck Schumer on Tuesday received unanimous consent to approve the Epstein Files Transparency Act upon receipt of the legislation from the House, only hours after the lower chamber voted 427-1 to approve it. The Democratic leader received approval from all 99 of his colleagues to deem the bill passed as soon as the Senate receives the legislation from the House. Senate aides said they expected that formality to happen either tonight or tomorrow morning. Trump says he will sign the legislation after spending months discrediting it, a sign that the wave of public support for greater disclosure of what the DOJ collected from its investigations of Epstein had become too strong to oppose in Washington. Speaker Mike Johnson, who voted for the legislation earlier Tuesday, accused the Democrats of using it to score political points, and get this, this is the Speaker of the House, urged Senate Republicans to make changes to the bill to, quote, make sure we don't do permanent damage to the political system. What did he mean by that? So the House of Representatives votes unanimously for the Epstein Transparency Act. It forces the Department of Justice to release all the remaining Epstein records and documents in their custody. And the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, says, well, we should consider some amendments and we should restrict the scope of the disclosure. In other words, they want to keep some files hidden. Why? Mike Johnson says, quote, to make sure we don't do permanent damage to the political system. What would be permanently damaging to the political system about releasing all the files? See, they're giving the game away here. And what they're telling us is that at the highest levels, probably people on both sides are implicated in the disclosure. That Jeffrey Epstein, running a sex trafficking blackmail ring, that's what it is. He worked with fashion and modeling agencies to recruit young girls, in particular underage girls. He threw lavish parties using billionaire money, maybe from foreign governments, maybe from the Mega Group, a collection of pro-Israel billionaires. And with his lavish parties, his island, his New York City house, and the girls, he brought government officials, Hollywood celebrities, powerful businessmen to these parties, secretly recorded them using cameras and microphones to blackmail them. And then I believe, and it's my understanding, that then he sold the blackmail. He functioned as sort of an intelligence mercenary, working with CIA, working with Israeli military intelligence, working with MI6. And it appeared to form some kind of triangle between the Labor Party in England, the Labor Party in Israel, and the Democratic Party in the United States, but also overlap with all the other political actors in those countries, and forming something like a intelligence mercenary outfit triangulating between these three countries, which is a very conspicuous triangle. And Mike Johnson says, we cannot release all the files pertaining to this situation because it might permanently damage the political system. Why? Because it might undermine its legitimacy and credibility. If we found out that the government was being controlled using blackmail and bribery, because it would undermine confidence in our government, in our democracy, if we learned that our civilian elected leaders were not answering to the will of the people, but were actually being controlled by foreign governments, intel agencies, that our tax money, that our government, our military, our regulations are actually under the control of shadowy forces that are engaged in sexual trafficking and blackmail, working for God only knows who? Why would we want to maintain a political order based on that? That's sort of the whole point. We want this to destroy the political system. Were we not clear about that? That's the whole point. That's the whole point, by the way, of the Trump movement. The political system is not working for the people. The political system is not answerable or accountable to the people because the political system is corrupt. And at these bottlenecks, this is where intelligence mercenaries, foreign governments, money is exercising undue influence in a way that is concealed from the public for an agenda that we don't know about and maybe we don't even understand. Our sovereignty, our freedom, our liberty, our independence has been stolen from us by this system. Why would we want to maintain this system? That's the goal. The system is corrupt. The system has to be destroyed. That's the whole point, is to undermine its credibility, undermine its legitimacy, so that it can be overthrown and replaced. And we're not calling for a violent revolution. We have elections in this country. That's what elections are for. We have a constitution. And if we have free speech, if we have our First Amendment, if we're able to access the public square on social media, then the will of the people should overpower the money. In this case, if we find out who was on the island, we're going to vote to replace everybody that was complicit in it. And that might give you some hope that we can peacefully replace the political system. That's the whole point. Johnson says we can't give away the whole game because then it might undermine the political system. Why? Because you're all guilty? Is that it? Because it's all true? Because you're all guilty and you know that if we saw all the Epstein files, nobody would pay their taxes, nobody would vote, because why would you? What would be the point? You're paying parking tickets while they're being blackmailed for child rape? You're paying taxes, you're forking over 25% every year, 3 months out of the year, you're working for the government, and that money is being controlled by people that were on the island? Yeah, hopefully there would be a revolution the day after that. Hopefully the political order would collapse the next day. That's sort of the point. And you and Kevin McCarthy and Frank Luntz and Trump and Bill Clinton and all of it. Yeah, the whole point is to throw all of them out. And I don't even care who replaces them. They say, what about the progressive left? What about them? They say, what about the reactionary right? What about it? So anyway, that's his comments on it, but it goes on. Thankfully, Johnson was not successful. Johnson's pleas fell flat after Representative Thomas Massie, the lead Republican co-sponsor of the bill, warned the Senate, do not muck it up. The House passed the legislation days after a discharge petition circulated by Massie and Ro Khanna, the lead Democrat sponsor, garnered 218 signatures to force the bill to the floor. Four Republicans signed the petition. Massie and Representatives Marjorie Taylor Greene, Nancy Mace, and Representative Lauren Boebert to help turn the tide in favor of the legislation. So let's go over the timeline here just to give you a quick refresh. So Trump promises during the election total transparency. He says, we're going to release all the files, will be the most transparent administration in history. He gets into office, and that is not the case. Weeks go by, and there is no word on the Epstein files. Finally, in the spring, he invites these idiot conservative influencers to the White House, like Mike Cernovich, who is about as dumb as he looks, Jack Posobiec, corniest person in politics, Scott Presler in his cowboy boots, D.C. Drano, otherwise known as Rogan O'Hanley, but don't be confused by his Irish name, he is Jewish, among others. And you remember they take the infamous photo op. They're posing outside the East Wing with their binders that say Epstein files. And people say, what the fuck is this? Put them online. Don't put the Epstein files on paper in a binder that you give to like these idiot conservative influencers. Put it online so that we can see it. So the conservative influencers come home, they upload the binder, and people say, okay, so we've seen all these files before. It's a fake out. So let's be very clear about what took place there. They tried to trick us. That's what that was. That was not an accident. That was not a mistake. They intentionally tried to deceive the public, and they insulted their base. The GOP and the Trump administration and Pam Bondi and Cash Patel, they gave a giant middle finger to the base. The base said, we want the files. And they said, oh, well, here's some things that we already released in a gimmicky binder with your favorite influencers on Twitter. And they thought that, I don't know, no one was going to read them. They thought that people would see Epstein files on the binder and will go, oh, good enough for me. I guess they were released. That was a trick. They lied. They tried to deceive us so that they can move on and never bring it up again. But people were hip and people said, no, these are not the files. So then Pam Bondi and Cash Patel come out and they say, well, we'll release some very soon. They're on my desk. We're going to release them soon. So then they postponed it. That was a lie. And they thought that maybe people would forget about it. So first they tried to trick us. Then they tried to get us to forget about it. They thought we would just maybe stop caring about it. Then Trump orders an investigation into the files. Later on in the spring, he orders the FBI to look for all the instances of his name in the files. And it turns out the FBI finds thousands of mentions of Trump in the files. Trump lies to the press and said, I didn't do that. I don't know if my name is in the files. I don't know what's happening. He lies. In July, famously, the DOJ pushes the memo that says that there are no files. So again, they lied, they tried to trick us, then they tried to postpone it. Then they lied and said the files don't exist. And people said, are you serious? Of course they exist. First of all, you promised to release them. Second of all, you pretended to release them. Third of all, you said they were on your desk. Now they don't exist. So that's a lie. And very quickly, the narrative surrounding the files collapsed. And you might remember it was in the middle of July that the narrative changed about a dozen times. And Trump comes out and says, well, maybe the files exist, but it's all child sexual abuse material. The only files are photos and videos of children being abused. Then he comes out and says, well, maybe the files are real, but they're all fake. It's a hoax. Maybe the files are real, but they're not really real. Then, and this was the worst, this was maybe the worst thing that was said all year, Trump comes out and says, if you think there are files and if you care about it, he says, you are a traitor. You're working with the Democrats and I don't even want your vote because you're stupid. He said this to his voters. So think of it. Trump promises to release the files, tries to trick us into thinking he did, then lied to us and said, we'll release them later, then lied again and said they don't actually exist, even though he knew they did. And when the base said, that's not good enough, we want them, Trump says, well, I hate you. You're the problem and I don't want your support anyway. Amazing politics. But it gets better. This is where we enter into the next phase of the Epstein file scandal. That was the initial effort to distract, to defer, to suppress. Phase two comes into play when Thomas Massey leads the charge. And right up towards the beginning of the summer recess, Thomas Massey, a Republican, and Ro Khanna, a Democrat, come together and they file a discharge petition. And what this says is that if a majority in Congress vote in this procedural motion, then they can force a bill to come to the floor for a vote. In other words, let's say the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, doesn't want to vote on whether to release the Epstein files. The discharge petition overpowers this. And how does it work? You get all the Democrats plus a few Republicans. The Democrats are in the minority by only a handful of votes. So if you get all the Democrats with a handful of Republicans, you can cobble together a majority. And if they use the discharge petition, they can force, they can bypass Mike Johnson, the Speaker, and they can force the whole body to vote on whether to release the Epstein files, which is what they do. So Massey files a discharge petition. And it looks like inevitably this bill is going to be brought to the floor for a vote. So what does Mike Johnson do? On the order of Donald Trump, Mike Johnson adjourns Congress early. In other words, Congress was going to go on vacation in August. Mike Johnson says, we will stop all the major business of this body 2 weeks early. For one reason, because Trump told him to, because if he didn't, they would take up the Epstein file bill. So think of it. They went through the motion of releasing the files. Then they delayed it. Then they tried to cover it up and lied about it. Then they tried to bully everybody. Then they literally shut down Congress to stop the files from getting out. When Congress reconvened in September, they had to consider an appropriations bill to fund the government with a September 30th deadline. And there was a lot of disagreement over Obamacare subsidies and other things. So we entered the longest government shutdown in history, 45 days. So we delayed the consideration of this bill by another 45 days, by another, what is that, 6 weeks? So they adjourn Congress early. Then they go on vacation. Then they come back and shut down the government for a month and a half. They come back, and once again, there is the specter of the Epstein files. Thomas Massie is pushing the discharge petition, and it's gathering steam. Marjorie Greene, Lauren Boebert, Nancy Mace jump on and consider who those people are. Nancy Mace, Boebert, and Marjorie Greene are all MAGA Republicans. They're all women. And their message is, this is an issue of sexual abuse of women. This is an issue of corruption. And maybe involving foreign intelligence. So they say, as women, and as MAGA supporters, this is especially important because it's concerning sexual abuse of women and corruption of the government. So they jump onto the discharge petition. And Trump, in one last push last week, again, this is the government shutdown ended, what, last Monday, last Wednesday? In one last ditch effort, Trump calls a meeting with Lauren Boebert in the Oval Office. Come up to the White House, come to the Oval, and it's him, and it's Vance, and it's Pam Bondi, and Kash Patel, and it's Rubio, I think. High-level members of government are there, and they're begging her, please don't vote for the discharge petition. And she leaves the Oval Office and says, I'm going to vote for it anyway. Trump tries to bully Marjorie Taylor Greene, calls her a traitor to MAGA, says he'll endorse a primary opponent in her district. And she stands tall, too. Trump unleashes an attack on Thomas Massie, says the same thing. You're going to lose your primary. The Jewish lobby, led by Miriam Adelson, marshals $20 million to spend against Thomas Massie in his district. Each of these people were targeted. Massie was targeted. Boebert was targeted. Green was targeted. They were all targeted by the Israel lobby and by Trump in the last week to get them to back off. And finally, it became inevitable. Last week, they achieved the 218 votes for the discharge petition, and it became clear that they would force the bill to come to the floor for a vote this week, as early as today. And once it became inevitable, over 100 Republican congressmen said they would vote for the bill, meaning that you would have 210, 214 Democrats plus 100 Republicans. It became an avalanche. It snowballed. It became inevitable that this would pass. And once it became inevitable, Trump comes on Truth Social on Sunday and says, all right, fine. I'll release the Epstein files. Once he signaled support, it became unanimous. And then today, every Republican and every Democrat voted in favor. And once it became unanimous in the House, it became unanimous in the Senate. But even on the last day, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, tried to modify the bill and restrict what would be released. And even today, the Senate Majority Leader, John Thune, said, well, maybe we'll take up the measure in December. So even after Trump capitulated, they were still trying to restrict it, to postpone it. But it was so overwhelmingly supported, unanimous, that both of those objections fell by the wayside. So the Senate took it up immediately with no modifications, no amendments, and now it will be adopted tomorrow. And once you know the whole story, you really understand this was a true mutiny led by the Democrats and a handful of MAGA Republicans. Think about that. If it were up to Trump and the GOP, we would never see the Epstein files. And remember, it's not because they couldn't get around to it. They can't blame it on the Democrats. They can't blame it on the deep state. It became very clear and open that Trump was the chief obstacle. Trump was effectively trying to exercise a veto over the whole thing. He was standing in the way alone. He and the Republicans. What does this tell us about our system? We are constantly being told that the reason we never get what we vote for is because of the Democrats. If the Republicans don't deliver on what they promise, well, it's because they don't have a big enough majority. It's because of gridlock. It's because of the Democrats. It's because of political realities. These are all excuses. This is maybe the best example of it. Here, Trump himself was trying to thwart the will of the people. Trump himself was protecting Epstein and his accomplices. Trump himself was protecting the corruption, shielding the corruption from exposure and accountability from his own base. And what was the playbook that he ran with? He tried to blame it on the Democrats. He said, well, I can't deliver on my promise because if I did, well, the Democrats would use it. Does this not tell you how politics works? And by the way, if the Republicans had a bigger majority, Trump would have been successful. Think about that. In an alternate timeline, if the Republicans had a 20-vote majority, then three or four MAGA Republicans could not be the fulcrum. They could not swing it the other way with the Democrats. If Republicans had more power, they would have suppressed the files and no one could have done anything about it. Because in the end, the social media campaign isn't what did it. Public pressure isn't what did it. Public discontent, unpopularity, that's not what did it. What did it is that you just had four people, four, doing the right thing in the lower chamber. Not even in the Senate, in the lower chamber. Four congressmen out of 435 did the right thing. And that is what compelled Trump and the whole GOP to deliver for the voters, to deliver accountability. Four people acted as the swing, as the fulcrum. In that moment, they had all the power. They overpowered the whole rest of the party by working with the Democrats. And this is where you begin to understand how we have to play. This is the game that we have to play. We're not going to win the majority of the country. We're not going to win the majority of the votes. But if we could put a couple of people selectively placed, if we could get in the middle and create leverage, that's the key word. Balancing between the Democrats and Republicans. If we can create leverage, then we can get what we want. Bitching on Twitter is not leverage. Hate to tell you that, but if you go on Twitter and express discontent, that's not leverage. If you go and make your voice heard, you chimp out at the president, that's not leverage. Having a few congressmen that are willing to defy the president and the Republican Party, that's leverage. That's real power. Having the vote inside the institution, that's leverage. Being willing to break with the Republicans, being politically independent, and in a certain sense, being outcome independent, that's leverage. Now, you can imagine a future. Let's use our imaginations for a moment. The country is split right down the middle. Republicans and Democrats are redistricting California and Texas to milk out as many seats as possible. It's split right down the middle, 50-50. In the Senate, in the House, it moves a little bit each way. Let's imagine a future. Let's say in 2032, where an America First movement forms. And you have people running, maybe as independents, maybe as Republicans. And in just five districts, let's say, you have America First, independents and Republicans with seats in the House. And what if they voted as a block and they were not loyal to the Republican Party? They were not loyal to Trump. They were not loyal to Israel. And what if in that same year, you had a balance of power in Congress where between Republicans and Democrats, maybe one or the other party only had three votes as an advantage? Those five congressmen could swing it one way or the other on anything important. The Republicans might need them to overpower the Democrats. The Democrats might need them to overpower the Republicans. Leverage. How about in a presidential election? Let's say somebody runs as an America First Republican in West Virginia. or in Idaho or some state that is going to have a handful of electoral votes. What if the electoral college comes down 269, 269? You're going to need every electoral vote that you can get. What if an America First spoiler candidate runs in a presidential election and maybe they win two or three of those states, maybe Idaho, maybe West Virginia, maybe Oklahoma, the deepest red states, and maybe between them they get 10 electoral votes. Republicans are going to need those to be viable. The Electoral College could go one way or the other, could decide the election. This is what we're talking about. This is why, by the way, Trump and loyalty to the GOP is not the end-all be-all. Supporting Trump and the GOP does not give us leverage. It does nothing for us. No bargaining power. No power to make an ask. And what happened in this Epstein saga is that a handful of MAGA Republicans dragged Trump by his collar, kicking and screaming all along the way. Think about it. For the past 4 months, Trump has unleashed an attack on Thomas Massie. Brutal attack. And on social media, the cadre of pro-Trump influencers attack Massie for everything. And Trump attacks him on Truth Social and the Israel lobby spending money. But Massie and three other Republicans, Boebert, Green, and Nancy Mace, God bless them. I have my disagreements with all of them, but they're heroes today. They drag Trump kicking and screaming on behalf of his own base, their constituents, to do the one thing that challenges the whole political order, which is to release the files. That's a blueprint for the future. And arguably, this is the moment when America First demonstrates that it has legs. This is what Trumpism has to give birth to, which is we're not looking to win control over the GOP. We're looking to totally alter the GOP. We're looking to fundamentally replace the GOP. And this now has legs. Now you have a handful of MAGA congressmen or America First congressmen. Now you have a blueprint for how this could be used in the future. So this is a remarkable achievement. It cannot be overstated, and it shouldn't be understated. People go around and they say, oh, the Epstein files don't matter. You know, who knows what we'll find in the Epstein files? I'm sure they're actually going to restrict it anyway, to tell you the truth. Will we learn anything interesting in the files? Who knows if the DOJ will even follow the law? There's a provision in the bill that says, well, if there's a national security concern, you don't have to release it anyway. So who knows what we'll actually get? The point is the mode, the method. The point is the politics. It's a proof of concept. And the gravity of it, again, to the extent that Trump will try to now own this and say, oh, well, I said they should release it against your will. You were forced to do it by Thomas Massie, who everybody in MAGA, cat turd and everybody has been attacking. He did it against his will. And this is where the Trump base overpowered Trump and Trump's GOP. That's the goal. And that just goes to show all these people that say, well, you know, if we win the election, then we'll talk about it on Twitter. All these political operators self-described, they didn't deliver this. Did Mike Cernovich deliver this? Fuck no. Mike Cernovich is like a Trump loyalist. Did all those idiots that got the binders at the East Wing, did they have anything to do with this? Did Scott Pressler, did Rogan O'Handley, did Mike Cernovich, did Jack Posobiec, did any of those people, did Laurel Loomer, did even one of those MAGA influencers compel the release of the Epstein files? No, that is because they are subordinate to Trump. They are dependent and contingent on Trump. They toe the party line. They work for him. They don't work for you talking to him. They work for him negotiating with you. Don't get it twisted. So for all their talk, for them going and getting the photo op and they get their little access, they get their White House water bottle and their White House button, and maybe they even got a challenge coin out of it. They got their little photo op and they get to run their consultancy and say, look, I got my picture with the president. Give me $100,000. I'll get you a seat at the CPAC, at the gala, at the Reagan dinner, at whatever. Those people did jack shit because they work for the system. It was Thomas Massey that took the slings from all of Trump's loyalists. All of the plan trusters, all of these dipshits did nothing but attack Massey, undermine and criticize Tucker and Marjorie, while all of them were building up power on behalf of America First. We have to remember who those people were. Who criticized Thomas Massey? Do you feel in charge? Thomas Massey got the Epstein files released. They brought attention to this issue, which is, this is maybe the most damning idea in politics today, which is that an Israeli spy, a Jewish spy with connections to the Israelis, to the mega group, to this Trump administration through Les Wexner. Les Wexner runs Ohio. Vance, if I'm not mistaken, got money from Les Wexner, as did Epstein, his business associate. Epstein, whose only remaining money in his estate is managed by Peter Thiel's venture capital firm. Who compelled the release of the files? Wasn't Trump, wasn't Vance, wasn't Charlie Kirk, wasn't all these dick-sucking MAGA influencers, wasn't any of them. It was Thomas Massey. It was Tucker Carlson. It was Marjorie Taylor Greene. It was Lauren Boebert, Nancy Mace, that they all make fun of, that they all have contempt for. Don't listen to them. It's us versus them. It's us versus the party. And the party needs to be punched in the fucking face. And that's what happened here. Thomas Massey, Marjorie Greene, Boebert, Mace, Tucker, they punched this stupid, treacherous MAGA movement in its fucking face and gave it a bloody nose. Trump came in True Social and said, "We don't need your vote. If you care about Epstein or any of that, you're not with us. You're with the Democrats." And Thomas Massey said, "Okay, bet. We're with the Democrats. We'll sign a discharge petition with 214 Democrats, and we'll see what's in the Epstein files." That's the game we need to be willing to play. That's the game I was willing to play in 24 when I said, "We're not going to vote." And the game I played in 22 when I said, "We're going to make Joe Kent lose." This is about people power. This is about the white people that make up the base of the GOP, not to the exclusion of everybody else. But look, the GOP, 90% of their voters are whites. This is about whites. This is about Christians. This is about American nationalists, the far right, America firsters, saying we're going to take matters into our own hands. Trump, you don't pay us. You're not our boss. Neither is Mike Johnson. Neither is Laura Loomer. And neither is Mike Cernovich. And we're done negotiating. We're done playing games. We're done holding our nose and voting Republican in the lesser of two evils. It's time to pound our fist on the table and say, it's our way or the highway. You've enjoyed the power and privileges for long enough. Where's ours? Where's our end of the bargain? So I love it. It's time to undermine the GOP. I said it in 2020. The GOP must be destroyed. Has to be utter. And yeah, they're going to say, he's a Democrat. He wants the GOP to be destroyed. The GOP serves the interests. The GOP, as presently constructed, serves the interests, the special interests, the donors. Everybody knows that. It serves Silicon Valley and little tech. Palantir, Tesla, SpaceX, Anduril, Oracle. It serves Wall Street. That's why Ken Griffin gave them millions of dollars. It serves Miriam Adelson and the Israel lobby. This is who they work for. This is who selects the cabinet. This is who makes the policy. That's why they cut the corporate tax rate and they did nothing else. That's why they're shielding illegal immigrants from deportation as long as they're working on farms or on construction sites or in hospitality. That's why they're still providing for H-1B visas. That's why they're still providing for Chinese students. That's why they back down on the tariffs. That's why they back down on everything. So this is the blueprint. This is how we take over. And by the way, hey, and get a load of this. Ro Khanna and Thomas Massey working together against the interests to compel the files. What do you think that has? A 90% approval rating? If you had progressive Democrats and nationalist Republicans working together, let's say to compel the release of the Epstein files, what kind of approval rating do you think that has? 90%? And what if they got together and they opposed foreign aid to Israel? What approval rating do you think that would have? 90%? What if they got together and worked on the basis of a common interest? Do you think that that Republicans or independents running under that brand, do you think that that would become more popular or less popular over time? 4 becomes 8, 8 becomes 16. It snowballs. And we need to propel someone into the White House that is just a populist. And here's where we're going to have to give. This is going to be the compromise. Very simple. The left has to give up immigration. That's simple. The left is going to have to give up. Look, we can have equity and we can have equality in the country. We can have civil rights. We can have all those things. But we have to close the damn borders. We have to close it. Too many illegal immigrants. Too many legal immigrants. That has to be the compromise. The left has to give on immigration and the right has to give on the free market. If the right can come down on healthcare and on a social safety net and maybe on some subsidies for education, and if the left can come down on the anti-white open border stuff and they can agree that we have a country, that party will win 90% of the vote and rule for a century. That's the compromise. That's the populist compromise. Why is it that for the left, it's like they don't even care about anything else. It just has to be open borders. And on the right, it's like they don't care about anything else as long as it's foreign aid to Israel and war in the Middle East and war with Russia. That's the kind of program that we need. And that's what they're terrified of. They're terrified that the left and the right are going to come together on the basis of stop supporting Israel, on the basis of close the borders, on the basis of restricting money in politics and the influence of the oligarchs. That's what they're terrified of.